are living in urgent times, if you are living in fear of the future, wondering how the Lord intervenes with His mercy and compassion, stay tuned for an hour of inspiring, uplifting radio for a time such as this. Now here is your host, Ann McClone, with Thy Will Be Done.
Well, good afternoon, my friends. It is August 19th, 2024. I am sitting in a postage-sized bathroom in another state because of tornado warnings. So I'm laughing. If you hear torrential rain, if you hear thunder and lightning, know that I am coming to you live, praying that all will be well. But I, again, am sitting in a postage-sized bathroom, praying that I can really complete this program, because it is a riot, because it's really about suffering into joy today. So how appropriate is it? So let us begin with prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, of the Holy Spirit, amen. Father God, we offer you this program. We pray that all the people who need to hear this program will tune in today. All those who are suffering, all those who think they're suffering, and all those who are interceding for those who are suffering, we offer up the program to you, to your Immaculate Heart and the Sacred Heart of Jesus. We thank you and praise you, Jesus, for all that you're about and all that you want to accomplish in our lives. We entrust this program to you, and we pray protection upon the airwaves. In your holy name, amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, in praying about 2 weeks ago, just said, Lord, what program do you want going forward? And it really was about suffering into joy. Many of you, I would highly recommend the book by Saint Mother Teresa on suffering into joy. It's offered at Amazon and other locations. It's a great book. But as you know, there are two kinds of suffering, right? Those who curse Jesus when something happens, and those who thank God for their suffering. Did you know that suffering produces endurance? And there are 21 Bible verses about joy in suffering. Everyone that rejoices in suffering are doing it for the sake of the gospel and are bringing souls closer to Jesus because of their witness. Let us praise God. So our special guest today is someone who really knows an awful lot about suffering, but she also knows a lot about healing and joy. So let me tell you a little bit about Ann Cardoza Costa, who's been with me many times over the years. But at this time in history, at this moment in her life, she has a very special message for all of us. Ann is a wife, a mother, a proud grandmother now. She just retired after 40 years as a social worker. She devotes her time to Revive, Hope, and Healing Ministries in Syracuse, New York. Now, it's based in Syracuse, New York, but it literally is national. Her gift right now is, quote, mobilizing a Catholic response to human suffering. Who in the world would want to take on that topic but Ann Cardoza Costa? I am so gifted to know her. She has taught me so much. Ann is the one, by the way, that when I was in the midst of my suffering in a hospital bed in my family room with the two broken legs and crushed femur, I would tell Ann in a text, Ann, I'm just crying all the time. I'm not depressed. If I pray the rosary with my husband, I start to cry. What is it? And she texted back, you've lost your ability to function as a human being as you used to, and you're feeling abandoned, and God is recreating you. He's recreating you. So she gave me hope and actually joy in the midst of that suffering. So I can't wait to hear the story that Ann has to share, particularly as she ministers to dozens upon hundreds of people in her Revive, Hope, and Healing Ministries based in New York, Syracuse, New York. And if you look her up on Amazon, you'll see all the books that Ann has written on anxiety, despair, the Sacred Heart of Jesus, the enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and so much more. We laughed the other day and we said we're both going to jointly write a book together about trauma and the joy of suffering and how the Lord takes us out of that suffering into his Sacred Heart and into hearts of praise and worship. And Ann said, right on, we're going to do that. And I'm thinking, how are we going to do that? You're in Syracuse and I'm in Pennsylvania. But God works around it, doesn't he? He always works around it. So I can't wait for you to hear Ann's witness, her advice, and of course, at the end of the program, we will be praying for those who are suffering, those who are feeling hopeless and despair. So if you know have a family member today that is feeling lost, without a sense of purpose, without a sense of the Lord in his or her life, tell them to tune in because this is the program for them. And of course, as I sit here praying that our house, our little cottage, survives this horrendous weather and torrential rains, I'm laughing because many of you probably heard me on the air 2 years ago when we were hit by a tornado. I had just signed off the air, and I texted Kathleen, we're in the middle of a tornado. Well, God bless America, because all of our friends came and rallied around us, and trees, a whole forest of trees, all types of trees, came down to our house. They hit our siding and our roof, but not one inch of damage was done to our house. And so I know that that was due to prayer. And there was devastation all around us. And we thank God that we were saved. We were blocked in our house. We had to go out our back door. And we're just so grateful. So we're praying today that we're safe as I sit in our postage-sized bathroom. As people who know me laugh because I am really not a friend of storms. I have to always pray. I have to bless the house with salt and holy water. Having lived through tornadoes, having lived in Wyoming for a job on a mining site in Gillette, Wyoming, I experienced many devastating tornadoes. So, well, being in the East, it's nothing to fool with, my friends. When you get these storm warnings, take them seriously. So talk about suffering. It's anxiety, the anxiety of suffering. That's the worst for me. Excuse me. So I'm praising and thanking God for the anxiety of not knowing what's going on outside this bathroom door. So listen, when you're tuning in to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, one never knows what's happening because it's live on the air. And although I am not streaming on Facebook because I cannot, I will be from time to time coming into the studio to do Facebook streaming. It's a riot because God just allows circumstances for me to experience what the topic is for the day. So let us begin to pray that Ann Cardoza Costa can come in and be clear from Syracuse, New York, that there are no storms up in Syracuse, that we can have a powerful program. And trust me, you don't want to miss Ann on the air with me. She is a seasoned evangelist, retreat director, 40 years as a social worker, and she has devoted her life and now her time to Revive Hope and Healing Ministries. She is mobilizing a Catholic response to human suffering, and I believe in the Philadelphia market, we are the first to have her on the air in Philadelphia. So I await Patrick, our wonderful engineer, to let me know when she dials in, and then we will be sailing along, as God says, into what the waters that he wants. And I'm sure they're turbulent waters. So if you're on the Schuylkill Expressway, in your kitchen, at work, coming out of a chapel, you've been praying, you're alone on a park bench, this is the program for you. This is certainly the program for you. So we thank God and praise God for all that he is doing in His Sign Catholic Radio Network. You can't beat the programs that are on the air every day. Every day, from Kathleen tomorrow from 4 to 6 p.m. to Kevin Johnson. Do we have her on the air, Patrick? Patrick, do we have her on the air?
And we have the guest.
All right. Thank you, Patrick.
All right.
Ann, you're live on the air with me.
Hi, Ann.
Did you hear I'm in a tiny postage-sized bathroom because storms are all around us and we have warnings? And I said, God, the topic today is suffering into joy, and how in the world, now I'm in this postage-sized bathroom with no air, no windows, and I'm laughing. Like, I'm living it right now. So, Ann, welcome. I just gave a little bio on your background, and we've been friends for a while. Why in the world is the topic of suffering so important to you, Ann?
Oh, my goodness. It's important because, you know, I've been suffering on and off in my life, as most of us have. And I'm just coming off a year of some, probably I would have to say the most difficult year of my life. And I think, you know, you might even join me in that. I know you've had a difficult past year. And, oh, my goodness, it's given me an opportunity to really reflect on what do you really believe? How do you get through these times when it just seems like there's no answer to, or no, you don't know if there's going to be an end to the trial, the suffering? And it really puts your faith to the test, doesn't it?
And did you at any time during this year feel like giving up, like I don't believe any longer?
It did, yes. Yes. It challenged me in that way. And I think the hardest thing about suffering is that it makes you feel so isolated. It makes you feel truly alone. And sometimes what we're going through makes it extremely difficult to feel connected to God. I mean, it's the nature, it's, you know, whether we're going through really bad physical pain and feeling like God doesn't care, or, you know, we're going through emotional turmoil and we feel like we have to hide from God because it's just too horrible to even think that He would want to know about those things, or, you know, the whole idea that there's shame involved in suffering, or feeling like you're being punished even. Sometimes suffering brings us to those places where we feel totally alone. And I am so deeply encouraged by the fact that, Jesus on the cross himself felt that, you know, when he cried out and said, "Why have you forsaken me?" You know, he himself allowed himself to experience that level of despair and disconnection. So I think every person at some point, every faithful person, they experience that, because Jesus did.
Well, Ann, your suffering year, did it come on suddenly? Or was it gradual? What exactly happened?
Yeah, so my season, really, it was the suffering of someone that I love. It was the suffering of my husband, who got in a bad car accident, and he broke his neck. And this idea of uncertainty, this not knowing, the feeling that everything was out of control. Like, one minute your life is this way, and then the next minute it's a totally different ball game. Like, everything is turned around, and you know, you don't know if it's ever going to go back to the way it was. Usually our seasons of suffering don't bring us back to the same place. They bring us to a different place, usually a deeper place. Eventually, we get to a place where we can trust God more because he got us through it, even though we didn't think we were going to get through it when we got through it, so when we were in it. So that was it. And in that period, you know, you try and rely on your own strength, And it just doesn't work. You just can't do it. God is there reminding us that we have to surrender to him in suffering, or else it's just sheer torture, right? So it was prolonged, and there was a lot of uncertainty there, and it called upon me to be a totally better person. And sometimes I was, and sometimes I wasn't, you know, sometimes I really wasn't. So God had to meet me there in that place of darkness.
And what role, though, does perfectionism play in this? I mean, did you sense that you had to be the perfect Christian to get through this, or you acknowledged, you know, you're crawling on your knees, begging God to help you? At what point, who were you during this point of time?
I'm sorry, what was that last question?
Who were you during this period of time? Were you?
Who was I?
Pardon me?
Did you say, who was I?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. There was the thought that I was maybe a lot of more patient person. I thought I was a lot more of a patient person than I actually was. And this called into question some virtues and vices that I wasn't aware of. First of all, the virtues come out when you surrender to God and you allow his love to go through you. And then the vices come out when you try to be all of this on your own, or try to be this selfless, wonderful person when you're sort of falling apart inside. And I think that, you know, the suffering just showed me his suffering, and then consequently my comparatively not bad suffering, but it's hard when someone you love is in that state. You realize your poverty. You have to get real with that. And there are times when at the deep level of surrender, I have to say there's peace there. Even though things aren't perfect and you don't know if they're ever going to be okay, in the sense of that quiet, ultimate surrender to Jesus, there is peace. And how can I say that? I just, because I had to surrender, because I wasn't capable of really handling it by myself. I couldn't do it. I had to reach out to people. I had to swallow my pride. He had to do the same. And we became better people, or we're still in the process of becoming better people. And the adjustments are still being made. But it's remembering, and it's remembering that God is good no matter what. Even when my life is bad or our lives are bad, God is still good. Yeah.
And were you able to minister to others in your Revive Hope and Healing ministry during this time, or did you just pull away from ministry altogether?
I really didn't have a lot of time available or energy available. And, you know, it was such a whirlwind that I think other people picked up the ball for me. And in looking back now, see, my husband broke his neck in July of 23. So where we are, August, so it's about, it's you know, we passed the year mark And I want to tell you, right about the year mark is when all of a sudden people started to come back to me seeking ministry. And I believe that's the Lord saying, you know, individual ministry with the coaching and things that I do. I don't know that I would, thankfully, it was a lull there. I think people shielded me from it. Even God, you know, because he knew I couldn't. I just literally, physically could not have that ability. And, but now there's an opportunity. And boy, I tell you, it's so much different how I approach things now than I would have approached things, you know, last May, you know, or June before the accident, right? Because I think I'm in a better place to be used now because of what we've been through than before, if that makes sense.
It does. Father Doug McKay, excuse me, who ministered to me when I was in the hospital and in a hospital bed for all those months, would say, the Lord is allowing you to be stripped down. And I would think, stripped down? How much further do I have to go to get stripped down? And so I'm hearing you that you were really stripped down. Do you sense that was a stripping down?
Well, yes. Yes, because, you know, you have something like knock you over, literally like what happened with you, physically knocked you over. This knocked me over emotionally, and my whole life had to sort of go on hold. And I had to completely stop and be there for someone else for 24/7. And that, you know, I don't want to give too much of my personal stuff, but my husband's not, it was not easy for him, okay? And I was the only person there to take the brunt of what was going on for him. So in terms of, like, the emotional experience of trying to help somebody who was really angry or very frustrated or was, you know, losing his own faith, it got pretty hard. I mean, you know, you talk about through better or worse in a marriage. Well, this was definitely the worst year of our lives, and for a part of it, you know, he was not even, you know, there was some complications for him mentally, so that it became like he was not even himself. Like, it was like, I remember one day, you know, just crying out, just sitting there, just weeping, because I felt like I had completely lost my husband. I mean, he was physically there, but it wasn't him. He was a totally different person for a while. And that was hard. That was hard because that was scary. You know, the whole thing about suffering is that fear can get in there and really make it hard. And so guarding against the fear of the unknown of where this will take you was just a prayer. I mean, it was like a constant prayer. So, yeah.
Well, Anne, can you just give like a 2-minute backstory of what happened to your husband? So our new listeners who do not know this story from last year, just tell a little bit without telling a whole lot about what happened to him, that he was a very successful man, and then what?
Well, yes. I mean, here we are. I mean, we're in what they supposed to be called the golden years, right? I don't know about this golden year thing, folks. I mean, I'm not sure that, you know, things when you get older get a lot harder. And so he was also struggling with a minor sort of vision loss before this accident, which was a very freak accident, with his car in a parking lot. No one else was involved. And it seemed like a very simple he just didn't see a pole in the middle of the parking lot kind of thing, ended up being a significant break in his neck that he almost became, you know, completely paralyzed from the neck down. God forbid. I mean, he didn't. But my husband's quite a bit older than me. He's 75. He's an older guy, so he's in great shape and everything. But that accident, he had to have a surgery, and he was and they put him on opioids, obviously for painkillers, which they still do here in New York State quite frequently. They shouldn't. But that complicated matters quite a lot, and it changed his personality and everything like that. So on top of losing his ability, and it also accelerated his vision loss to the point where he's really legally blind now, and he can't drive, or he can't read, he can't see the TV. There's very little that he can do that was of enjoyment to him. So he's in this really bad state, and he needed everything done for him, but he's a guy, he's a macho guy, and that's not okay. You know, he had to work through all of that, losing so much, and then having to regain his sense of equilibrium, his sense of self, and battle. He really became severely depressed, and that was scary too, because he was not wanting to live anymore. So just all of this happening, and me just kind of like trying to adjust, you know. There were some beautiful times, don't get me wrong. You know, my husband was very self-sufficient, and then he had to, like, depend on me a little bit, and I really enjoyed taking care of him. He never was one that would let me do that, and he didn't have a choice. He didn't like it that much, but then he sort of got to like it, you know? And so these adjustments that we had to make in our relationship at this, you know, late time, that's something that nobody really talks about, you know? Like, you can be married all these years, and then at the end of life, it calls upon you to just totally draw on some deep well of love that God has, and bonding that God has cemented all these years, to get you through to the promised land, so to speak, you know? And so who thought of it? Who knew it? And that's where we're at today. And, you know, he's just now returning to church. And this is just a beautiful thing that happened. I have to share it, because after you go through all of that and so much despair and so much anger, so much resentment that he had, and difficulties with relating with people, and particularly me, and da, da, da. So we went to a church, I got to say this, nearby our house. We just got over COVID, too, so on top of this, so then there's that run-of-mill stuff. But anyway, so a few weeks ago, we decided to go to a church over next to our around our house, because he can't really golf anymore, and golfing was a big part of his life, and that's another loss that he's had, to give up. So now we can go to church together again, and we were going separately before, and we ended up walking into this church, which we've been to before, but we just walked in, and we sat there, and we went to church, and are you still there?
Yes, I hope that wasn't a tornado warning again. Go ahead.
No, oh my gosh! So we went to church, and we left the church, and he looked at me afterwards, and he goes, "I love that church." He said, "I love that church." It's like, for my husband to say something like that is an absolute miracle. After everything he's been through, and he lost his faith, and he was miserable and depressed. And then for him to just on a Saturday evening, we walk into church and he looks at me and comes out and he was very, and you know, he likes going to church now. All right? So I guess what that means is there's always hope. Absolute hope through the worst kind of storm that God can make something good come of it. I would never have even dreamt that he would come to a place where he would want to even set foot in a church based on how he was seeming to be on the outside. But God was working on the inside, and that's what he does with us through our suffering. He works on the inside if we let him. And he brings and sows these deep, abiding peace and hope, and he just stirs up our faith, those three infused virtues that we have at baptism, you know. He's steadfast in his care of those, of our soul during those periods of suffering, I believe. What do you think? You think that?
And we have to cut to a commercial break. My friends, we have Ann Cardoza Costa on. We're talking about suffering into joy. We're hearing her personal testimony. When we return, we have so much more to share. Ann, stay on the line, please.
Okay.
Every experience God gives us, every person he puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Ann McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers on the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for he wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Welcome back, my friends. You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, and Thy Will Be Done. I'm your host, Ann McGlone, and we're talking to Ann Cardoza Costa from Syracuse, New York. She's a wife, mother, grandmother. She retired after 40 years as a social worker. She's devoted her time to Revive Hope and Healing Ministries, if you want to look it up. And right now, she's mobilizing a Catholic response to human suffering. And I'm so happy to have her on the air as she shares her personal experience. We're not talking about just a book, but she's living it. And you started sharing about how your husband loved this particular church and now that you're going to church together. And so there are fruits from this suffering, fruits, you know, Father Rene Lawrenson used to say how you know something is authentic is if one bears fruits, which means good things. So now you and your husband are going to Mass together, and he loves the church. And what a gift. It's a special gift to you as well.
Well, it is. It's an answer to prayer for sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's hard because when someone goes through suffering and they don't really have a sense of faith in God or feel that he's got their back, it's hard to watch someone that you love be like that. And that's a heartbreak. That's a heartbreak to see that, to do that. That's kind of what brought on the starting Revive Hope and Healing Ministry to begin with, is that, you know, the hope that God is there in our darkest hour, that he does want to heal us, that he's in the restoration business, as I always say. And you know, when your own loved ones don't hear that or can't accept that, it's painful. It's painful to watch, and it's so. But you know, I would never have guessed that this would be an outcome. We think we know how things are supposed to go, but God has a much better plan for us. And sometimes it does include suffering. It just does. That's all there is to it, you know. And the Catholic, when I talk about mobilizing a Catholic response to human suffering, you know, the Catholic idea of healing does not include an absence of suffering. It just doesn't. It includes the Catholic definition of healing is restoration and return to God in the fullness of his will, you know, to be able to, like Mary, you know, stand at the foot of that cross, look up and be completely surrendered to the will of God and have no trauma really associated with that other than, you know, she just gave her entire self over to the suffering that was going on with her son, and she shared in that suffering. And, that's we are healed, but we are not shielded from suffering. You know, we can be healed and still suffer, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And I think if people are seeking to alleviate suffering in their lives, That's when we get into some problems, really. So,
and I'm curious, how do you honestly believe that suffering can turn into joy?
Absolutely, it did on the cross. It did at Calvary, and that is our hope. And you know, so many again, we always got to look at what do we mean by joy. People expect joy to be a feeling. It is not a feeling. It's more of like a knowing beyond a shadow of a doubt. It's an abiding in the goodness of God, regardless of our circumstances, and it's being really at peace in the deepest part of our being, and knowing that good, God is good, like I said, regardless of how bad our life is. And so that really is joy, and I do believe that. I believe it's the only way that we can actually experience authentic joy is to have suffered.
And give our listeners a starting point. If they're just tuning in and they're suffering,
yes,
what is a starting point for them today? They're feeling lost and confused. What is your message to them as a starting point, Ann?
So you know what I would like to share something that I just found recently, but I wish I had had it before. I probably did and forgot, but it's from St. Francis de Sales, okay? And I love St. Francis de Sales. He was like a precursor to our modern day psychologist or something. He was a Catholic psychologist. He was just very smart about people. And he was no stranger to suffering. But he said this. He said, be at peace. Do not look forward in fear to the changes of life. Rather, look to them with full hope as they arise. God, whose very own you are, will deliver you from out of them. He has kept you hitherto, and he will lead you safely through all things. And when you cannot stand it, God will bury you in his arms. Do not fear what may happen tomorrow. The same everlasting Father who cares for you today will take care of you then and every day. He will either shield you from suffering or will give you unfailing strength to bear it. Be at peace and put aside all anxious thoughts and imaginings. So where, I love that. I mean, it just covers everything. But I just want to go back and I want to say, do not look forward in fear to the changes of life. Okay. So we know that life is going to change. We know that if we're going through something hard, we don't know. It's very unknown how things are going to end up. But the message right in that line is that we got to try to stay in the present moment, not let our minds run away from us, and not try to troubleshoot it, but just stay focused in the present moment and of doing the next right thing for ourselves, right? And so when we do that, hope can arise in us, because hope comes right there in the moment. You know, it's making peace with whatever's happening right at the present moment, instead of looking back. And about it, unless when we're looking back, like he said, God's going to deliver us from things that he's hitherto already led us safely through things. So the other part of suffering is give your memory to God and let him help you remember the times when he was there for you before. So you don't think that you're being abandoned, but you remember the times when God got you through stuff. Like, if you were scared at this time, or you prayed to him that time, remember his faithfulness. When you're looking back, have him say, I want you to give me the memory of the times, Lord. Show me when you helped me, because I need to remember that. I need to know that you're going to do that for me now, right? And when you can't stand it, oh, I love this, God will bury you in his arms. Oh, my gosh. I mean, that is just the most beautiful image. And I did ask God for hugs. You know, I really needed it, because they're, you know, it's so physically isolating. So sometimes, you know, I looked at images of God hugging people, or I looked at the crucifix, or I just really clung to images that showed his fatherly care of me during this time. And then it says he'll take care of you every day, and he'll shield you from suffering, but he's going to give us unfailing strength to bear it. And so I looked for that strength every day. I looked for him to give me strength. I showed him my weakest thing. I wasn't afraid to show him. Got to the point where I could show him every weakness and ask him to give me strength. And I think if you started with this beautiful thing from St. Francis de Sales, it really is a prescription of how to get through suffering, you know. So.
And is there a name to this prayer, a specific name?
There isn't. There isn't, but I can send it to you. I post it on all my social media. But I can send it to you. It starts with be at peace, do not look forward in fear to the changes of life, and then it goes on from there. And, yeah, it's a tribute to St. Francis de Sales. So,
Very powerful.
I found it on the internet, right? I mean, you never know, but I know that's him because I've heard that before, but I just don't know where it's from, but it's so beautiful and helpful, I think.
Well, as you're sharing, it's so important for us to rely on the sacred scriptures and the prayers of the saints and the intercessory prayers of others. Tell our listeners, did all this pain have any effect on your family, and how did you handle that, Anne?
Well, I have a very small family, and so I have just one daughter, and I think that they were very... I didn't want them to know a lot about what was going on, so we just kind of carried on and stuff. But it certainly has made us closer. It has made us closer in knowing that this could have been a whole lot worse. It could have been a whole lot worse. It wasn't easy, but it could have been a lot worse. And I know that I know that my daughter, for instance, is much more... She's much more attentive and more involved with us now because, you know, you think your parents are going to live forever and everything's going to be great and blah, 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 even when you're an adult child. And I think it kind of drove home the preciousness of life and how things can happen and change so quickly. So it has definitely in a good way. Again, that's another fruit of it. Yeah.
Well, this is amazing, Anne. I'd like you to speak to our listeners as well. You have so much depth and experience and in your prayer life and in praying with probably hundreds and hundreds of people. Does the Sacred Heart have anything to do with this healing?
Well, I believe that I believe the Sacred Heart of Jesus is the place where we go for everything. Where we go for all of the, you know, every ounce of mercy, every ounce of grace that we need to get through. I mean, that his heart is where it all flows from. So, when you understand, when you know that Jesus had this human heart, and we have this image that shows us how much that heart is open to us, is afflicted for us, you know, and unfortunately by us and our sin, that we can't help but go to that heart. And I know this happened. If I didn't have it before, I certainly now have an image of the Sacred Heart in every single room of my house, every single room, because, you know, that's where everything comes from. And during times of suffering, we just cry out for mercy. We need mercy. And that's where it comes from, his beautiful Sacred Heart. So, yeah, the Sacred Heart is everything. You know that, Anne. We know this. It's where we get our strength. It's a Eucharistic heart, right? So it's the body of God. It's the body of Christ. It's his heart shedding everything for us. And I just, you got to cling to him. You got to cling to that. And I love to. I love to.
And I would love you to pray for our listeners today. And we have many and who may, you know, follow up with a rebroadcast. But I want you to use your giftedness in praying for all those who are suffering emotionally, spiritually, or physically, or praying for a loved one today. Would you mind just praying in?
Absolutely. Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your kind heart, for your abiding love. We thank you for never, ever abandoning us. We have so little to give you. We come with our poverty, our open arms. We come crying out for your mercy. Please help those who are suffering right now. Please help them to see the glimmer of hope, to hang on to your cloak, the hem of your garment, and know that the power from you will go out to them. The power of your love will help to get them through. Help them to know that they are never alone, Lord, that you are not punishing them, that you are never going to abandon them, that you are with them every step of the way. Lord, I ask you to send angels in the form of people for those who are lonely and in anguish. I ask you to just bring healers to their lives and help them to trust. Help them to trust you and to be strengthened in their broken places, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for your love and care. Amen.
Well, thank you for being with us today, and as always, it's been almost a year, and what a gift to have you on today, and I pray that we'll have some time together in the future weeks or months, and we'll have an update, and dear God, we pray that you are blessed, and your husband and your family with his abundant grace,
thank you. I ask
our listeners to pray for you and your husband and family for complete healing, and that your suffering will be completed in joy. In his holy name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
God bless.
God bless you. Again, our special guest today was Ann Cardoza Costa. She has a lot of books on Amazon or Revived Hope and Healing Ministries out of Syracuse, New York, from anxiety to the enthronement of the Sacred Heart. On many topics, she has a devotional. I highly recommend Anne because she's been doing this. She's the lived experience, not intellectually, although she is quite intellectual, but she has lived through everything that she has written. So I pray that today you were touched in a very special way by Anne Cardoza Costa. I just wanted to allude to the fact that, did you know, in Romans 5, verses 1 through 5, the Lord talks about suffering producing endurance. And this is what we heard Ann Costa speaking of today, the Lord building her endurance. And there are over 21 Bible verses about suffering turning into joy. So I ask that you please get your concordance out and really study this because it's very important. A lot of ministers have written online that there are two types of suffering, those who curse Jesus and those who thank God for their suffering. So everyone that rejoices in suffering, you're doing it for the sake of the gospel, and you're bringing souls closer to Jesus because of your witness. So I pray that today touched you in a very powerful way. In the coming weeks, one of my plans, and the Lord only knows, it could change, is to bring you live stories of people who are experiencing the topic that we will be discussing and how God brought them through it, or they're suffering in the midst of it. These are live stories. I don't want stories from years ago, but stories that are present day and how the Lord is responding to the cry of their hearts. I want this program to be unlike anything that we've done in the past together over the years. I think it's been 7 years on In His Sign Catholic Radio Network. So we'll have specific teachings regarding some of the issues in your life that you're struggling with. We'll have psychologists and priests, exorcists, lay people. I would love people from multiple denominations to be on with me, because I love sharing the power of prayer with people from various denominations. It's the greatest gift that we have, actually. I actually love hearing Kathleen on Tuesdays and hearing the people from around the world are listening and sharing their comments. And one of these days I will be on streaming
on Facebook, which would be wonderful. Actually, just streaming through the power of the Holy Spirit on Facebook, and I'll be able to take some of your quotes in your chats, and also to be in the studio to take some questions or responses in the coming weeks, to be in the studio to also accept that. So there's so much planned. And I told Maureen Powers when I came back on the air after 9 months off the air that it felt like Christmas, and every program is a renewed sense of strength in the Lord, because the suffering has turned into joy with broadcasting again on this amazing Catholic network. And those of you who are just, I call it surfing on the channels right now, you're saying, oh, who's this? Well, this is not paid for by the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. It's the Widow's Mite that keeps this on the air. Yep, the Widow's Mite keeps this on the air. So I'm very excited to tell you that over 50 plus years, this apostolate has been on the air. And I ask that you continue to keep it on the air, because God has his hand on it. He has a mighty plan. And Kathleen McCarthy right now believes that there is a message to share the gospel with those who don't believe, to ready our hearts to sound the trumpets. We need to sound the trumpets. Be ready. We must be ready for what the Lord Jesus Christ wants of all of us. And so I pray personally for all of you every day that the Lord will touch you and heal you mentally, physically, spiritually, however he desires of you. You are part of my prayer life, and I'm sure Kathleen's and all the other network broadcasters. So this is a unique network. Oh, it may not have the commercials, it may not have all the money funding it, but it certainly has the prayers and anointing. And look up anointing of the Holy Spirit, anointing that God keeps bringing it forth for a future plan. And you're part of that plan. So I ask that you continue to pray for Kathleen and all the people involved behind the scenes. Pray for all of us, the broadcasters, that we continue to hear the beating drum of the Holy Spirit. We are living in urgent times, and we need to hear what the beating drum is that God wants us to hear. We need to stand in alliance with the Lord Jesus Christ and his mother Mary. It is imperative that we return our hearts to him. So if you're a lukewarm Christian, I don't care what denomination you are, if you are lukewarm, meaning once in a while you pick up the scriptures, or once in a while you pray, or once in a while you surrender your life to the Lord, well, read the scriptures. Look it up tonight, the Concordance on Lukewarm Christians. No more room for lukewarm Christians. We have a mandate from God the Father to stand firm, to stand for his son, Jesus Christ. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to give up that lukewarm, I think I'll go to church when I want to, I think I'll pray when I want something? No, there is no time. Kathleen says we are living in urgent times. We don't know what God the Father has planned, but we do know that he will spit out those who are lukewarm. So we, the listeners, must stand firm in the heart of Christ, to stand firm in all that he desires of us. And let us stand firm in praying for one another and believing that he has a greater plan for all that need to believe. So until next week, may the Lord bless you, and may he keep you. And may Our Lady's mantle be wrapped around you. Please tune in next week, and I'll be happy to be with you. And God bless you.
Be alert. Stand firm. Trust in God's plan for your life. Be sure to tune in next week for a new dose of hope.
see.